a table order for April 1st. Can I please have an approval of minutes for March 2020?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Am I missing Amy DeLugos?
I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. You're up.
Okay, this is a request for a resolution to accept a community development block. The legislature approved the application for the grant last November. And this will allow us to do approximately 15 more septic systems and also do 2 mobile home replacements, which is new for us, but not new for Arbor, our project management partners.
I'll move it.
Second.
Now I have a question, Amy. So with all of that, with what's going on, will they be able to start, when would they be able to start doing some of that work?
Well, we are trying to get, so the original construction exemptions included affordable housing projects. So we were assuming that we could move ahead with these projects and some of our land bank projects be considered affordable housing. However, there's some confusion out there with not being able to get permits and things from the code enforcement officers. So we're trying to get some guidance from Office of Community Renewal or somewhere on what they consider affordable housing projects. We were assuming these kind of projects falls under affordable housing, so we're just trying to get some guidance on that. Especially the septic projects, I mean, some of them are health safety, so those, you know, obviously can proceed, but we do need some guidance on the affordable housing exemption.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, we have a motion. All in favor of approving the grant?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Carrie, is that all, Amy?
Yes, that's it. I'm going to mute my line and stay on the phone.
Okay, all right, thank you. So next up on the agenda is Jamie Johnson to give us an activities update. But first of all, I want to give some kudos to Jamie and the Steuben County IDA for their almost daily newsletters and information updates that are going out to help businesses during this time of the pandemic. So kudos to you, Jamie. From what I can see, you've done a good job.
I agree.
I appreciate that. And, you know, none of us have ever experienced anything like this. And, you know, how I directed staff was, is that at least, you know, until we hit the bottom and we can start helping businesses with things like funding applications and things like that, our role was to disseminate information and make sure that information was good and accurate. So we spent a lot of time, and staff worked tirelessly, and I need to, you know, to give kudos to my staff, because, you know, when I needed something working from home, they were there, whether it was Friday night at 10:30 or Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. You know, last week was very difficult for all of us, trying to understand the actions as it changed sometimes by the minute. So I appreciate the kudos, but it really was a team effort, and my staff deserves a lot of that credit as well. So this is going to be a little bit of a different update than what I would have typically given. Wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, our actions and response during this, where we are looking at going from here, and how we continue to respond to this ever-growing crisis. You know, through this, we have attempted and tried very hard to make sure our information was being disseminated appropriately. We're actually should be releasing in the next day or so an actual website that people can go to. I've been hesitant to do that only because that's one more thing we've got to keep updated, and the response to our Our email blast has been overwhelming, and I can say that one of the good things that has come out of this for us is that we have continued to be engaged not only with the business community that we normally are engaged with, but businesses that have traditionally not sought out assistance from the IDA or you know, been an organization or business that we've worked with. You know, we've grown our relationship and our reach, if you will. So initially, you know, through this, it was at the beginning, it was all about the dissemination of information and then working with businesses to determine, you know, whether or not they were going to be deemed essential. And, you know, through that, Jack and I had numerous conversations about the impacts of essential businesses, the number of employees, what that was going to do to the public health effort. And, you know, I know there were several conversations Jack and I had about, you know, whether this was good or bad as to whether these businesses were becoming deemed essential. And I think through that, a lot of the businesses, you know, took the initiative to implement, you know, some very strict guidelines as far as how they were going to treat their employees. But also what we found is that over the time, as time went on, some of these businesses, and I'll use Gunlock as an example, just determined that it was best for the business and the health of the employees to just, you know, discontinue operations until they had a better understanding of how this was going to impact their business operations. But through this, and I hope Jack agrees, you know, we were at least able to provide the county information on, you know, where the potential hotspots were and understanding what those businesses were doing to help protect their employees and then disseminate that information to Jack and his team as they were trying to manage the public health crisis. So, you know, through that, as I said earlier, you know, the state has set up a hotline. The state continues to update and change their guidance. We continue to promote that. You know, there are businesses who have been, you know, investigated by the Attorney General's office as complaints have come in to that line. Some of them, I think, are very valid complaints. Others, I think, are, you know, simply people not necessarily wanting to go to work every day. But, you know, that is left up to the Attorney General to make that determination whether those complaints are valid or not. And they are doing that. So, any questions on our initial response before I start talking about recovery efforts and some of the things that are going on now? So we all are aware of the $2 trillion package that was approved. I'm still not quite sure where that money is going to come from, but I guess we'll pick up the pieces when we get through this. You know, there is a lot of money for businesses, and when you read the rules and regs, that money is you know, can be very helpful to get businesses through this. I am cautiously optimistic that that money will flow like the Treasury Department and the SBA want it to flow. Treasury actually released a press release late yesterday, which I disseminated to my board, but have not gotten it out to the rest of the business community about the payroll protection program, which will provide some forgivable loan assistance to those businesses that keep people on staff during this. You know, that money will be released and applications will start to be processed as of this Friday. This morning, I reached out to all of our 7A lenders. There are not very many in this region. The SBA 7A program is a little bit of a bear to get through. But, you know, I have reached out to all the 7A lenders saying, okay, how are we directing businesses to you? How should we be assisting businesses? Because all of this money is going to flow through our 7A lending community, which is basically the bankers that have been certified. So we've been in close contact with them. We will continue to be in close contact with them and then help direct businesses the best we can to complete those applications and seek out that funding. In addition, you know, we have been engaged with several businesses who have, you know, looked into the SBA emergency loan program. That was the first program that was released. That is actually a very long or old program. It's been around and been in existence for quite a while. We did work closely with the state to make sure New York State was designated. It was kind of a strange designation because they picked a number of counties based on some criteria. To go to the federal government receive that designation, and Steuben was one of them. So we had to work with our business community to make sure we got impact statements from them in order to get that designation. But we did get that designation, I guess, a week ago now, and there have been, you know, individuals that have looked through this. Having said that, you know, comments in the Corning Leader, you know, we're I guess a little negative, but you know, we need to be very careful that as we work through this, we understand that there still is bureaucracy, there still is, you know, time factor to all of this, and quite honestly, we are in an unprecedented time where we've got the entire country trying to access these same programs because we're all under the same situation. This is not a 9/11 tragedy where there was a one-time incident in a very isolated area. This is a global pandemic that everybody is trying to deal with. So, you know, how the money is going to flow, how quickly it's going to flow, and how much of it there will be available is yet to be determined. And I think through this, there will continue to be additional programs and resources that will be made available to help our business community. And I want to make sure the IDA is at the forefront of understanding that, communicating that out. You know, in addition to that, we have had some discussions at our board level about, you know, how we can help best direct funds locally and programs locally to help what I would call our Main Street business and small business community. I think those are the ones that are going to have the most difficulty keeping people on board and coming back once we're through this. So we've had a lot of discussions with partners at REDEC, Chris Brewer in Jackson County. We've talked to them about it, and you know, hopefully in the coming days and weeks, you know, we'll have some additional information that we can share about how we're going to redivert some resources to do that. Partnering with some of our you know, our local institutions that have capacity to handle the requests that we expect to come in. In addition, while all of this is going on, I can tell you that we still are very busy with projects, which is a good thing. Renewable energy continues to go full bore. We've got recent approvals for a solar project in the town of Bath that should start construction this summer. All three of the wind projects that are looking at our communities confirmed yesterday that they are still moving forward and expect to start construction. Most of them late summer, early fall, but they are all still moving towards that goal and expect to continue to do that. You know, and as I've said, that's $1 billion worth of new investment that will be coming to Steuben County that will benefit all of us as we look to recover from this pandemic. We continue to be engaged with a couple of interested buyers at the Phillips property. There's documents being exchanged there. So, you know, we're hopeful that Phillips and their team can, you know, come to a resolution on that, which we will be very excited to work on. And then as of Friday, the board of directors of the Dana Lions unanimously approved a purchase contract, which will now go to their entire membership to vote on the sale of the Dana Lions School of Providence Housing for a $24 million redevelopment of that project as well. So there are still some good things going on in the community in spite of what's currently happening on the health crisis side. So
this is Jack, if I could interject specifically with the Dana Lion project. I would I think it's important to point out, you know, Jamie's done a ton of work, and Kelly also did a phenomenal job. Robin was involved as well, but Kelly really helped push that towards the finish line in working with the community and helping with the communication. So she definitely deserves a lot of thanks for that.
Absolutely. Without Kelly, I don't think we could have gotten it to a unanimous vote like we did. So thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
So just to wrap up, and then I'm happy to answer any questions. You know, we are engaged daily with all of our partners. I know I'm in the basement now, so it's a little dark because my wife is upstairs on a conference call with CSS Workforce New York because she works for the Workforce Investment Board, which Jack chairs. We have talked to REDAC every day. I've got three emails that just came through on my phone from Empire State Development regarding, the different companies and situations. Right now, we are in a mode of facilitating information and making sure we can disseminate that and work with our companies to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information. So happy to answer any questions regarding our response to what's going on and any projects you made.
Amy, let me ask right off the bat, to back it up a little bit to your comments about meeting with the board and trying to fashion some sort of resources for local businesses once, not only going through this, but once businesses start to reopen again. I think my question is, I know very well the bureaucracy that the state can present for local businesses. Is there some way that you're talking with your board to be able to free up some local resources so they won't be quite so much paperwork and delay, and, you know, the regular bureaucracy from the state?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, there are conversations going on at the state level right now about allowing IDAs to free up some of their local resources, Robin. Right now, we are not allowed to provide grants or loans. We can invest into real estate. We can do some other things, but the state has said for the past 10 years through the authority's budget office that we are not allowed to do grants and loans. So we're working with our state association, the New York State Economic Development Council. I chair the policy committee of that. We're trying to get some language softened to allow us to do that in this emergency crisis. A lot of IDAs have pretty healthy fund balances, including ours, which would allow us to then divert some of our local resources to some of these efforts. Now, having said that, one of my biggest fears is that, you know, I don't want this to, I'm looking at this from, I guess, a statewide perspective. You know, the resources we're going to be able to free up, we need to be very careful about that, because we don't want to dump everything into an individual program right now when we may need it later to help with recovery, you know. And I also, you know, don't want anybody to think that, you know, this is going to be a make or break all type of program, because the resources will not nearly cover the demand that is out there. But again, it's a tool and it can help. And what we're talking about is, you know, some short-term resources to allow people to get through an SBA process, to leverage other funds, just to give them some cushion through this period of time. But in order to do that, we need to get the state to loosen up on some of those regulations. So that's what we're waiting for right now.
All right, thank you.
Jamie, I have a question to a business owner in Corning yesterday, who he contacted his SBA lender, which is a credit union in the Corning area, to learn about how he has to go about applying for this stuff. And they basically told him that they were only going to handle customers who currently had SBA loans through them or were members of their credit union. So if a lot of these businesses don't have an existing SBA loan, how are they going to get access if the financial institutions are limiting that type of access?
That is a great question, Scott, and honestly, one of the concerns that I have. When you look at the, what I would call the regional SBA lenders in Chemung, Steuben, and Schuyler that are physically here, it's Chemung Canal. It is, and these are certified S7A lenders. So the ones that are certified that don't have a relationship with another institution that is certified. It's Chemung Canal, it's Elmira Savings Bank, and it's M&T. Some of the credit unions have relationships with an organization called Pursuit Lending or the New York Business Development Corporation. And I've been talking with them, and that's one of the emails I sent this morning to Jim Conroy, who I've known for a long time. And I've asked him, okay, how do we help businesses get through this process? These lenders are going to be inundated with requests. And they're all trying to manage these requests while practicing social distancing and working from home offices. So while the legislation says this money, you know, needs to get out the door in 2 to 3 days, a traditional SBA process takes nearly 30 days to get through. So how do you go from a traditional 30-day process to a 3 to 5 day process with everybody working from home and the entire country asking for money? That has been my concern all along, and what we are hoping to, you know, have more information on later today. And honestly, one of the reasons why I'm talking with the board and REDEC and other organizations about freeing up some local resources to try to bridge that gap of time that it will likely take to get SBA funding. I just don't see, I can't see a clear path, and I hate to say this because I sound very negative. I don't see a clear path on how the SBA is going to be able to facilitate these things in the time that the legislation has put in play for them to do it.
Right. Well, and through the SBA process with loans that I have, and I would think they are going to severely relax their restrictive nature of review in order to do this. Yeah. But that being said, the situation that he explained to me yesterday to me didn't seem fair, because it's not the first in line are people that we already deal with. It should be anybody can get access. And it may be something like the Business Development Center has to become an area where people that don't currently have SBA relationships with their financial institutions could go and get help.
Yeah. And that's where I think so Pursuit Lending, the New York State Business Development Corporation, they are a direct SBA lender. They are a statewide organization. They have relationships with many of these banks. Many of the banks, how the organization was funded was back in the 50s and 60s, many of the banks contributed to this organization and are members of this organization solely for the purpose of being able to have a resource to do SBA lending. And they have offices all over the state of New York. You know, the one that serves us, I believe, is out of the Rochester area. And they are very adept at being able to do this type of lending. And I think what you're going to find, Scott, is for those organizations that don't have relationships with local lenders like that, we're going to be diverting them to a statewide resource like New York Business Development Corporation, i.e. Pursuit Lending, in order for us to help get them access to that kind of capital. And again, I've been talking to Jim over the last couple of days, Jim Conroy, who's a regional vice president in charge of lending in New York and Pennsylvania. And I asked him this morning, how do you want us to send you businesses? You know, how do you want us to help divert businesses to your resources? And honestly, I asked the same question to Schmunk Canal. I asked the same question to Meyer Savings Bank and M&T. You know, because those are all certified direct SBA 7A lenders per the SBA's website, you know, not the lenders like the credit union who have a relationship with a Pursuit or NYBC. So I'm trying to figure out how these organizations are going to handle the influx. So then we can send out another one of those communications to the business community and saying, hey, applications are available. Here's where they're at. Here's who you need to be talking to get this information. I saw the application this morning. It's three pages. It's literally, I was very surprised being it was coming out of the SBA.
How simple.
It was very simple. Yeah. So I am hoping that my past experience with the SBA is not indicative of what the what the experience will be with this program.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that the most helpful thing will be getting that list of lenders out as quickly as possible. I'm concerned if we don't have if our area businesses don't have the information on exactly who is processing them, that these funds may be sucked up before we do much about it.
That is my goal today, Aaron, is to make sure I understand where we need to direct businesses to now that the Treasury has released it. So, you know, we will get that information out. And as soon as we have good information to send out, because right now it hasn't been good information. You know, you send people to an SBA website that crashes four times in, you know, the course of 8 hours with information that says the program's not available yet, to me is not, you know, I don't want to be sending people to that kind of resource. So today, that's my goal today, is to get all of it.
Jamie, this is Mark. These projects you mentioned, the solar projects and the wind projects for next fall, you think the money's going to be there? I mean, in consideration of the financial constraints this virus is putting on our nation, are they going to hold back these monies? Do they need them other places?
I don't know, Mike. I can't answer that. I mean, what I do know is that they're all saying, and again, that was as of yesterday, they're all saying that these projects are continuing to move forward. Where the money comes from, I mean, for these projects, they typically come from, you know, large investment groups and large investment banks. They are very heavily regulated and incentivized by the state federal government through a variety of tax credits. I would hope that they're going to continue to move forward, but right now we are in uncharted territory. We really don't know.
John Malter here.
Yes, John.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Look at several of my clients have already put together the loan packages. These are clients that don't have existing SBA loans outstanding, and most of the banks are reaching out to clients right now, providing them the application forms and the information to apply. So I don't see it as a major problem in my area.
Yeah, John, and I think the banks are going to do a good job of disseminating that information. Where I'm more concerned with is on the SBA side and how the money is going to flow on the SBA side. It's never been the local banks that have been the problem with SBA. It's always been the SBA. And if it comes through, I will be the first to admit that I was wrong, and I will be the first to admit that I am thrilled that the SBA was able to pull this off. I'm just being cautious when it comes to making sure we set set an expectation with the business community that we can't control.
I understand.
Okay, are there any other questions from the committee or anyone else that's on the line?
I have a question on the wind siting issues. Robin, if you can take that now. Sure. So one of my towns contacted me. I was at a meeting last month, and they were very concerned about the governor's potential plan on changing the manner in which these projects are sited, and particularly with the potential of the local municipalities really losing out on any substantive or meaningful procedural input, and sort of a lack of, potentially a lack of regard for the local laws related to wind or solar. And I was wondering if we could get a resolution out, and maybe it would be something to do before the full legislative meeting this month, that basically says that we're opposed to removing local input, but understand some of the reasons why they're looking at reforming the Article 10 process, but don't want to lose the ability to have substantive local input that's meaningful.
And what I can, you know, say to that, just to chime in, for those that don't know, in the governor's budget, he added an amendment right towards the end of that process that he has to amend his budget, that basically took the Article 10 process out of the hands of BEC, basically, and the siting board, and put it into the hands of Empire State Development, which significantly reduced the amount of time that it would take to get a review and approval, and really further limited local communities' abilities to participate in that review. And furthermore, it actually put some language in there that allowed NYSERDA to become involved in the negotiation of payment of tax negotiations. I don't know where that stands, like many of the other budget issues. I've been told that the leadership in Albany is trying to get a budget approved and passed in the midst of the current crisis, which I think is not a very good policy move, but that's why I'm not in Albany, I guess. But I do agree with you, Aaron, that I think, you know, that this is typical of the pendulum swinging too far the other way. I do think that the Article 10 process had some faults and was overly lengthy and could be overly burdensome, especially with the conditions they were placing on some of these wind developments when they issued the approvals. For instance, Barren Wind had 160 or 170 different conditions that were part of the Article 10 certification that they had to work through, which will probably remove some turbines from some communities. So I think there were some things that needed to be done, but I think the governor's proposal took it too far the other way.
Right. If I
would agree that there are things that needed to be done with the Article 10 process, and that it swung too far the other way with the proposal.
I have a suggestion. I believe, Jack, that we have an advisory from NYSAC some time back opposed to this idea of removing local control from the siting process, don't we, Jack?
Yes, we do. And we are on the email, not really the phone, with everything else going on. But like Jamie mentioned, they're trying to get a budget done. They passed some bills overnight. They're passing more today. We'll definitely keep you posted. We can definitely, to Aaron's suggestion, we can definitely tee up a resolution one way or the other. And if we hear either through Jamie or us what exactly is in that, and if this is removed, from what I'm hearing, they're trying to remove a great deal of the policy non-budgetary items from the budget. There are some policy aspects that are in there. But we can definitely keep you posted and get a resolution ready. But if something changes, you know, in the next day or two or whenever, when the budget's adopted, we'll keep you posted on that too.
So, Aaron, do you perhaps want to make a motion to follow up on that resolution, and we'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I'll make that motion.
I have a second.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? This is just on promoting a resolution to oppose the removal of local input on the siting process. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carried. Anything else there?
No, thanks.
Okay, Jamie, any follow up?
That's all I've got.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
I think the committee has exhausted its its questions. Thank you, Jamie. That was very thorough. We appreciate it. We hope that we're able to offer up all the help we can for our small businesses, because that's what's keeping the economy back when we finally start up again.
And please feel free to send businesses our way. You know, we have the office officially closed, but they can go to our website and use our general email, which is being monitored, and we are checking messages at the office. So if anybody wants information, just, you know, send them our way.
Thank you. I have one other piece of other business. It's just an information. I received notice from Emily Sims, the county historian, that the Hall of Fame nominations are being extended because of the situation. She's keeping the application process open until the end of June. Then the committee will be going through those nominations. We're probably about 2 months. We're advancing it for about 2 months. All right, anything else to come before the committee? Anything else?
All set on my end.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So at this point, Brenda, you jumping back in, close this out.